in order to convey to mankind such knowledge which gives them a clear and intelligible conviction of the working of God in his justice and love, I have written a work in the light of truth, which leaves no gap, contains the answer to every question, and clearly shows to mankind how wonderful are the ways in creation that are upheld by many servants of his will. But God alone is holy. Words of Abrushin, author of the Grail Message. Good evening and welcome to Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on the work In the Light of Truth, the Grail Message. The Grail Message is a new spiritual revelation of the truth given to mankind by the author Abrushin. It explains the will of God, which manifests as the adamantine and incorruptible laws of creation. This message does not bring a new religion and is intended as a torch to guide all serious seekers to the light and their longed-for height, which is paradise. It is addressed to honest seekers only, for only such shall find. I am Dr. Tunde Agboola. A reading from the Grail Message is now brought to you. The Grail Message says, and I quote, "Faith. Men speak of deserved and undeserved faith, of reward and punishment, retribution and karma. All these are only part designations of a law resting in creation, the law of reciprocal action. A law which lies in the entire creation from its earliest beginning, which has been inseparably interwoven with the great, never-ceasing evolution as an essential part of creating itself and of development. Like a gigantic system of the finest nerve strands, it supports and animates the mighty universe and promotes continuous movement and eternal giving and taking. Plainly and simply, and yet so aptly, Jesus Christ has already expressed it. What a man sows, that shall he reap." These few words render the picture of the activity and life in the entire creation so excellently that it can hardly be expressed differently. The meaning of the words is inflexibly interwoven with life, immovable, inviolable, incorruptible in its continuous operation. You can see it if you want to see. Begin by observing the surround visible to you. What you call laws of nature are, of course, the divine laws, are the Creator's will. You will quickly recognize how unswerving they are in constant activity. For if you sow wheat, you will not reap rye. And if you scatter rye, it cannot bring you rice. This is so obvious to every man that it simply never reflects on the actual process. Therefore, it does not become at all conscious of the strict and great law resting in it. And yet, Here, he faces the answer to a riddle, which need be no riddle to him. Now, the same law which you are able to have here takes effect with equal certainty and force also in the most delicate things, which you are only able to discern through magnifying glasses. And going still further, in the interior part of the whole creation, which is by far the larger part, it lies immutable in every happening, also in the most delicate development of your thoughts, which also still have a certain element of material substance. How will you imagine that it should be different, just where you would like to have it so? Your doubts are in reality nothing more than the expression of your inner wishes. In all existence, visible and invisible to you, it is no different, but each kind produces its own kind, no matter what the substance. Just as continuous are the growing and developing, the bearing of fruit, and the reproducing of the same kind, this process runs uniformly through everything. It makes no distinctions, leaves no gap. It does not stop at some other part of creation, but carries the effects through like an unbreakable thread without interruption or cessation. Even though the greater part of mankind, in their limitation and conceit, have themselves from the universe, the divine or natural laws have not ceased on that account to regard them as belonging to it and to go on working without change, calmly and evenly. But the law of reciprocal action also stipulates that whatever a man sows, thus where he causes an effect or consequence, he must also reap. Only at the beginning of every matter is man free to resolve, free to decide where the omnipotent power flowing through him is to be guided, in what direction. He must then bear the consequences arising from the power that was set in motion in the direction willed by him. In spite of this, many persist in asserting that even so, man has no free will if he is subject to fate. This foolishness is meant only to serve as a narcotic, or to be a grudging submission to something inevitable, a discontented resignation, but mainly a self-excuse. For each of these consequences falling back on him had a beginning, and at this beginning the cause of the subsequent effect lay in a previous free decision by man. This free decision has, as or other, preceded every reciprocal action, thus every feat. With the first volition, man has each time produced or created something in which he himself has to live afterwards, sooner or later. When this will happen, however, varies greatly. He can still be in the same earth life in which his first volition made the beginning for it, but it can equally well happen in the ethereal world, when the gross material body has been laid aside, or later still in yet another gross material earth life. The variations are not important here. They do not free man from the consequences. He carries acting threads with him continuously until he is redeemed from them, that is to say, detached through the final effect that ensues through the law of reciprocal action. The one who forms is bound to his own work, even if he has intended it for others. If, therefore, a man today decides to do another an ill turn, either in thought, word, or deed. Yes, thereby put something into the world, quite irrespective of whether this is generally visible or not. Thus, whether gross material or ethereal, it has within it power, and therefore life, which continues to develop and work on in the desired direction. How it will affect the person for whom it is intended depends entirely on the condition of the soul of the one concerned, to whom it may thereby bring either much or little harm, perhaps also different from what was intended, or even none whatever. For again, the state of the soul of the one concerned is alone decisive for him. Hence, no one is exposed to such things unprotected. It is different with him who, through his decision and his volition, has given rise to this movement. That is, who was its producer. His product remains unconditionally bound to him, and after a short or long journey in the universe, returns to him reinforced, laden like a bee, through the attraction of similar species. Here, the law of reciprocal action takes effect, in that every single product in its movement through the universe attracts, or is itself attracted by various similar species, through whose union a source of power then comes into being, which sends back as from a power station reinforced power of the same kind to all those who, through their products, are connected, as if by cords, with the assembly point of similar species. Through this reinforcement, an ever greater density also occurs, until there finally arises from it a gross material precipitation, in which the one-time producer must now live and experience to the full what he once willed, in order at last to be freed from it. That is the origin and development of the so dreaded and misunderstood fate. It is just, down to the minutest and finest shading, because the action of only similar species, it can never bring in the returning radiation anything other than what was actually willed personally in the beginning. Whether for a particular individual or in general makes no difference here. For it is naturally also the self-same process. When man does not specifically direct his volition to one or several persons, but lives generally in some kind of volition, the kind of volition which he decides upon determines the fruits he must eventually reap. Thus, countless ethereal traits cling to man, or he of which let whatever he once willed full flow back to him. These currents result in a mixture that constantly has a strong influence on the forming of his character. Thus, in the mighty machinery of the universe, there are many things which contribute to how man fears, but there is nothing to which man has not himself first given cause. He furnishes the threads, out of which in the untiring loom of life, the cloak he has to wear is made. Christ plainly and distinctly expressed the same when he said, "What a man sows, that shall he reap." He did not say, "Can he reap?" but "he shall." That is the same as saying he must reap what he sows. How often does one hear otherwise very sensible people say, it is incomprehensible to me that God should allow such a thing. But it is incomprehensible that men can speak thus. How small they imagine God to be with this remark. They prove thereby that they think of him as an arbitrarily acting God. But God does not at all directly intervene in all these small and great men, such as wars, misery, and other earthly matters. From the very beginning, he has woven into creation his perfect laws, which automatically carry out their incorruptible work so that all is accurately fulfilled, forever taking effect uniformly, thus preventing any preference as well as any prejudice and injustice being impossible. Hence, God has no need to trouble himself especially about this. His work is without flaws. But one of the principal mistakes so many people make is that they only judge according to gross matter, regarding themselves as the center therein, and taking into consideration one earth life, whereas in reality, they already have several earth lives behind them. These, as well as the intervening times in the material world, are equal to one uniform existence, through which the threads are tightly stretched without breaking, so that in the effects of a particular earthly existence, only a small part of these threads therefore becomes visible. Hence, it is a great mistake to believe that at birth an absolutely new life begins, that a child is thus innocent, and that all happenings can be accounted for in only the short life on earth. If this were true, then the existing justice would naturally require the combined causes, effects, and reactions to occur during the span of one earth life. Turn away from this error. You will then soon discover in everything that happens the logic and justice which are now so often missed. Many are alarmed at this and afraid of what they still have to expect from the past through the reaction in accordance with these laws. But such are unnecessary worries. For those who are in earnest about the good volition. For in the self-acting laws also lies at the same time the certain guarantee of mercy and forgiveness. Quite apart from the fact that with the firm beginning of the good volition, a limit is immediately set for the point where the chain of evil reactions must come to an end. Yet, another process of immense importance comes into force. Through the continuing good volition in every thought and deed, a constant reinforcement also flows retroactively from the homogeneous source of power, so that the good becomes more and more firmly established in man himself, emerges from him, and first of all forms accordingly the ethereal surrounding that envelops him like a protective covering, in much the same way as the atmospheric layer round the earth affords it protection. Now, when evil reaction from the past return to this man to be redeemed, they slide off the purity of his surrounding or covering and are thus deflected from him. But should they nevertheless penetrate this covering, the evil radiations are either immediately disintegrated or at least appreciably weakened, so that the harmful effect cannot manifest at all, or only to a very minor extent. In addition, through the resulting transformation, the actual inner man to whom the returning radiations are adjusted has also become much more refined and lighter through the continuous striving for the good volition, so that he no longer has any homogeneous affinity with the greater density of evil or base currents. Similar to wireless telegraphy, when the receiver is not tuned in to the energy of the transmitter, the natural consequence of this is that the denser currents, because they are of a different species, cannot take hold of anything and thus pass harmlessly through without evil effect, redeemed by some unconscious symbolic action, the various kinds of which I will speak about at some later time. Therefore, set to work without delay. The Creator has placed everything in creation into your hands. Make use of the time. Every moment holds disaster or gain for you. End of quote. Just listening to a reading from the Grail message. This is Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on the work In the Light of Truth, the Grail message. Copies of the Grail message can be obtained on Grail Land, Eju Hills, Lagos, Grail Centers, and Grail Information Centers nationwide, and also at major bookshops. Public lectures are also organized from time to time. You are cordially invited to public lectures based on the Grail message. Date: Sunday, 1st of March 2015. Venue: Maximum Tea's Hall, off Agbado Road, Alakoko, Lagos. Topic is based on the Grail message in Yoruba language. Time of lecture is 4 p.m. Also, on Sunday, 15th of March 2015, venue of lecture, Nurses House by Lafia Township Stadium, Lafia, Nasarawa. The topic is based on the Grail message. Time of lecture, 4 p.m. At the lectures, you'll be free to ask any question about life and existence and creation in general. Now we enter the second half of this program, the interactive segment. Genuine seekers who wish to interact with us, the telephone numbers to call: 0705-298-0298. Again, 0705-298-0298 or 0805-944-1123. 0805-944-1123. And for your text messages, 0803 315-7493. All right. Let's make some announcement of Grace Centers where people can get copies of the Grail message. In Bayelsa, Yenagoa, the Grail Information Center is on Tombia Amasoma Road by Ziak Hotel, Etegwe. In Edo State, Benin, Grill Acres, Ego, Benin City. In Kwara State, Ilorin, the Grill Center is at 6 Ilofa Road, GRA, Ilorin. And in Lagos, here in Ikeja, 22 Ajao Road, Ikeja. All right, we have some text messages here. Somebody writes, who is Amphos and what is his place in creation? Through the knowledge given to man, a great message. Amphotas was a priest king in the lowest imitation of the Grail Castle, which lies at the summit of the ethereal world. And all right, and it is there that Amphotas met his fall because he succumbed to the influence of the darkness. We'll talk about that more later. Another caller, a caller is here. Otis is calling from Abuja. Hello, Otis.
Yes, Otis, yeah. Yeah.
Good evening.
Doctor, I pretend that I want to know when God promised Israel that they will give them a promised land, and that promised land, people are there already. Why God not give them this in a way to buy out?
Who are you talking about? Who are not giving virgin land? What are you talking? Hello? Your question, I can't understand it. Maybe you should try and call back. All right, now back to that other question concerning Amphotas. It was a priest king in the lowest imitation of the Great Castle, and then he supposed to act as the guardian, the highest guardian there, but he failed. And then later he was replaced. All right. Emmanuel is calling from Abuja.
Yeah. Doctor, good evening.
Good evening.
Hello.
Yes, you are on. What is the question?
Hello?
Go on now.
Okay. I want to ask who be the boss? Because we know the man of Jesus Christ is Mary. But I like Mary.
Yes.
I want to know who be his mother. Second question.
My mother of who?
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The second question.
Yes.
About last time, I hear you say John the Baptist is the of the revelation. It's not the John the Baptist. That one, the right, another John. It's not John the Baptist, the author of the revelation.
Okay, the revelation, all right. So those are your two questions. All right. Now, talking about Emmanuel, with the birth of the light bringers, Jesus and Emmanuel. In the case of Jesus, the earthly mother was Mary. In the case of Emmanuel, the earthly mother, the name was Teresa. Because in the case of Jesus, it has to be a woman that swings in the ray of love. In the case of Emmanuel, it has to be a woman that swings the ray of purity. And as to your second question, the author of the revelation is John the Baptist. He was the one who received the revelation. And he received this revelation on the Isle of Patmos. The Isle of Patmos is not this one that you see on the material heart, but there is an island in the high spiritual realm, far, far, far above the paradise of the human spirit, called Isle of Patmos. That was where John the Baptist received this revelation and then transmitted this to the pen of another person here on earth who now recorded it for us.
Hello.
Hello. Barrister Dan is calling from Igondu. Yes, go on.
I want to ask, what is my case of this company to not having no beginning?
That what? What?
Not having no beginning.
Okay.
Okay.
There is a beginning for that which has been created. There is a beginning for that which has come into existence. But the Almighty Creator is eternal. You cannot understand that with your intellect. You must understand it with your spirit. What is eternal has no beginning, has no end. That is the Almighty. All right, Monday is calling from Abuja. Hello, Monday. Good evening. Good evening. Go on, please. All right. Tithe was an injunction given to man at the time, but it has been abused. The tithe you pay links you only to your church. It does not, at the same time, link you to your Creator. For the Almighty Creator and the church are not one and the same. What man needs to do is to love his neighbor, just like our Lord Jesus Christ told us. What you do to your neighbor, the help you give to your neighbor, the consideration you show to your neighbor, that is where the true love is. Okay, another text message is here. And it says that, what are the three cardinal laws of creation? Okay. We will just mention them, but you will get the understanding when you read the green message. One of them is what we have read about in this lecture today. Jesus Christ himself said, what a man sows, that shall he reap. That is one. Then there is also the law that says, birds of a feather flock together. That is the law of attraction of homogeneous species. And also there is the law of spiritual gravity, which says that anything that is heavy must sink. And what is heavy is evil. Anything that is light must rise. And what is light is good. All right. Konechuku is calling from Maraba.
Good morning, Doctor.
Hello, good day.
I must commend you for the present way you are handling the show.
All right, thank you so much.
All right. I have only one question for you.
Okay.
The question I have for you is, how would man know his real destiny in life?
Destiny.
Can you hear me?
The destiny of man in life. How will he know his destiny?
Yes, thank you.
All right. Everyone that has been permitted to come into this world has a certain task assigned to him. And that task is related to the abilities he also carries within him. In the course of his life, he will come into situations where he will eventually know what he must do. But he has to look inwardly. He has to look deep inwardly to know what his task really is. In fact, that is one of his assignments given to man. So that each one will now fit in to that particular position, what that which he must fulfill. But to do that, he must first of all know the whole purpose of art life. So I will advise the questioner, take a copy of the great message and in the process you come to understand what life is and why you are here. In the process, you also come to understand your abilities and how to apply them. In that way, then you find your goal in life. All right. There is a question here. Please expatiate on that word, the spiritual realm, paradise. Okay. We'll answer that after taking this call. Martins is calling from Suleja. Hello, Martins.
Hello.
Yes, good evening. Good evening.
Good evening, doctor.
Good evening.
I'm enlightened.
Okay.
My question is this, doctor.
Yes.
Please, I just want you to help me and explain the mystery surrounding dreams. You know, sometimes you may dream and, you know, the next day, the thing we just go, you won't understand the meaning. So what has the mystery surrounding dreams? That is number one, my number one question.
Okay.
Then number two is this. When God created Adam,
okay,
was he just a representative of other mankind that was in existence as at then? Or he was just the only person that God created?
Okay.
That time.
All right. Now, back to your question, dreams. Yes, dreams are of two types. There is genuine dreams and there is false dreams. Now, the part of the brain that we use for dream is the back brain. The back brain is the dream brain. They have two types. They have two brains, the frontal brain and the back brain. The back brain is the dream brain. It is also the instrument of the spirit. It is for spiritual receptivity. It is that part of the brain that is connected with the spirit within man. When man has a volition, the volition from the spirit impresses itself on this back brain, and a picture of that volition is taken. This is then transferred to the frontal brain and then for activity. But in dreams, when we sleep, that is where we receive the spirit within impresses its volition on that. And when we wake up, the recall is also through the back brain. The back brain is the seat of memory. But most times when we are dreaming and you are hearing words, sentences, then that is a false dream, because the frontal brain, which is supposed to be at rest when we sleep, is not resting. So that is why there is confusion in dreams. Okay, we answer the other question. Ogundayo is calling from Ota. Hello, Ogundayo.
Hello.
Yes. Go on.
Hello, sir. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
My name is Tunde Alifasu from Ota.
Okay.
My question is, the Bible says that nobody cometh to the Father unless through the Son.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, yes. That is true.
The issue is that all the fulfillment of this word that does not be things that they will not make able. I need another
to it. No, that is not the way you should understand it. Now, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The meaning of that statement is that no man can come to the kingdom of God except through what I tell you. And what did Jesus Christ told us? He told us the truth. In other words, no man can come to the Father except through the truth. Even if somebody he does not know the word of Jesus direct, but is a true member of his religion and he practices well, he will always swing in the truth. And such a person, either here or in the beyond, when he leaves the flesh, he will be made to come across the Christ spirit. The Christ spirit is the truth, so that the word is fulfilled. No man comment on it for that or by me. So that statement should not be interpreted one-sidedly. It does not mean that only members of the Christian religion will enter paradise. No. It is only those who understand the truth and live by it. That is the meaning. Because only the truth is the passport to paradise. Jubril is calling from Abuja. Hello, Jubril.
Good evening, doctor.
Good evening. Thank you. I'm listening. Please go on.
My question is, they are talking, every woman is talking about heaven and paradise. And the paradise they are talking about, is it really exist on earth or is it exist in heaven? Because the Bible says that on the last day, the wicked one will be cut off from the society, and God will bring his kingdom, that is government, and where there is no wickedness, and where people will dwell and live. And the second one is, where will I get your dream meeting message book from? Because we are living in Abuja here, I will try to listen to whether a letter in Abuja here, where to get the copy of the book.
All right, first of all, let me answer that question, where you can get copies of the Great Mercy. Go to Lugbe. Now, Federal Housing Authority, Phase 2, Lugbe. When you enter that Federal Housing Authority, Phase 2, go to Road 21, House 22. Road 21, House 22. Federal Housing Authority, Phase 2, Lugbe. There's a Grave Information Center there. You can get copies of the Grave Mercy. Now, to your question, paradise. Now, that also links to that other question somebody was asking, to talk about paradise and the spiritual realm. Now, the spiritual realm has many planes. And in that spiritual realm, the lowest of that plane is the paradise of the human spirit. There are also other planes. We just mentioned about, for example, the Patmos, where John the Baptist received the tidings of the revelation. The Isle of Patmos is far, far above the paradise of the human spirit. Now, the spiritual realm, that paradise, we started as unconscious spirit seed. We cannot develop there. We are now given the grace to come into the material world to develop. When we complete our development and become mature in spirit, we then return to paradise. But also, as a help for man, the Almighty has promised that there will be the kingdom of God here on earth as a training school for man, for those who surmount the judgment. We all stand in the judgment now. When the judgment is over, those who pass in the judgment are now going to go through this, the kingdom of God on earth, the thousand-year kingdom of peace, as is a training school, so that man will now know how to live according to the will of the Almighty. And so that is that. Okay, Richard is calling from Yenagoa. Hello, Richard.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, my question was, how will someone know, understand that he is having the Lord in the spirit, when the Bible says we should serve God in spirit because it is spirit?
All right. To serve the Almighty in spirit simply means that to allow our intuition. You see, most of the time when we are saying we are serving the Creator, we are just using the frontal brain. But you cannot understand Him through that. It's only through our intuition. The intuition is the only way by which the spirit within man shows its activity. When we are intuitively perceptive, then we also understand and also recognize its laws and then strive to live accordingly. So we must learn to recognize that intuition, that inner voice, which is the voice of the spirit within us. When we understand that, then we will also be able to serve the Almighty in spirit. Now let me go back to the question Mr. Martin from Suleja asked. We will answer the question about dreams, that there are genuine dreams and false dreams. Then he was also asked about Adam and Eve. Was it only one man, Adam, or many people created at that time? Now, Adam and Eve is a pictorial rendering of the coming into man, into the world of man and woman. So it's not that there was just one man, Adam, or one woman, Eve. There were many that were incarnated at that time. The Adam represents those who are masculine, the men, and Eve represents those who are feminine, the women. At that time, the most highly developed animal at that time, when the noblest pair mated, at the time of incarnation, instead of the animal soul to incarnate, it was the human soul that has matured to that point that was incarnated. And that was the path of man into the physical world. Man came into the physical world through the mediation of the physical cloak of the animal. So, and there were so many that came at that time. Therefore, if you were to look at the scriptures, when it says that Adam and Eve gave birth to Cain and Abel, if you were to interpret it literal sense, and Cain killed Abel, and then the same Cain went somewhere and found a wife, you will not understand it. So it is only a pictorial rendering of the coming to man, into the world of man and woman. All right, Dixon is calling from Abuja. Hello, Dixon.
Hello, Doctor. Good evening, sir.
Yes, good evening.
So my question, what are the head of consentient beings in a man?
The head of what?
And he's saying the prayer of the rosary, a genuine prayer.
What are the what?
How the substantial beings help man? Yes, sir.
Okay. And what is the other question?
Another question is, he's saying the prayer of the rosary, the genuine prayer.
Okay, rosary. Okay. Now, the substantial beings are the beings who are actually the master builders of this creation. They are the ones who created, who built through the power of the Almighty, the mountains, the stream, the rivers, the earth, the waters, the fire, and so on. They are of various kinds. And they are also those who are attached to every human being. When you think, there are those substantial beings that will take the thought, let it grow. As long as continuing to think in that direction, they attach the threads to where it belongs. Same thing with our words, same thing with our actions. And when it is harvest time, they are the ones that will also bring it to you. There is no injustice. Everything works perfectly. So the whole mechanism of creation is so wonderfully arranged that man will be amazed if he were to just to open his inner eyes and see it, which this great message has come to enlighten those who are genuinely seeking. So they are there. The substantial beings are the best helpers, friends of men. So we must learn to recognize their activity and also learn to appreciate their activity. Both the ones that are small as well as the ones that are big. All of them serve under the will of the Almighty Creator. And the help they can give us is innumerable. In fact, everything that man has invented here on earth, he did not invent it by himself. The substantial beings have already invented all those things. They have fashioned them in the world, in the medium gross matter. Whatever it is, man only opens his inside inner being to draw what has already been completed in the world of medium gross matter and then transfer it to the earthly. They have already completed everything. But when we are doing the drawing, because the channel through which we are drawing is clogged and dirty and dark, when it comes to the material, it is all distorted. Now to prayers. The real prayer is not what you are formulated prayers. Formulated prayers are those prayers you just say by rote, something you have learned by heart. Those are not prayers that can rise to those regions where prayers are answered. One should learn to move away from formulated prayers, prayers that are said at specific times. They do not swing in the spontaneity. They do not swing in purity. That which can only come from deep within your heart. The best way to know the prayer that is actually of genuine intuition is when something happens to man unexpectedly. Somebody that is facing danger, almost dying, and suddenly is rescued. You know, at that moment, joy coming from within, you cannot even cloak it in words. Somebody that wants to cross the road and is about to be knocked down by a moving vehicle, and somehow he is saved. Well, at the moment, even when he's in danger, he can only just say, ha! He cannot even say anything more. Whereas in that single word, ha, so many things already encompassed in it. And that is the real prayer, because it comes from deep within his heart. The formulated prayers where you now start this rosary and so on, they already are formed words. It is not the words that can lead to the regions where prayers are answered. The words are for the man who is praying. It is his heart. What comes from his soul, that is the one that can swing upwards. Okay. Okay, Chuku is calling from Ojo. Good evening. Okay.
My question is this. Is there any place God set up for an evil man to be punished forever?
Is there what?
A place where God made for evil man to be punished forever.
Yes, now. There is hell. There is hell. Hell is real. Hell is the dark place of the material world. When somebody does evil, either to in his thoughts or words, when he leaves the flesh, is so heavy, it must sink. It must sink into that plane of dark planes and among his own kind. But that region too, there is still hope, in the sense that only through the suffering that he undergoes there that can make him to come to the recognition of how he really is, which can, in a way, want to change him. Because when he suffers so much, he may wish to run away from that environment. And that is the beginning of a change for him. And eventually, he may be able to rise from the dark plains to the light regions. But then, we should also remember, we all stand in the final judgment now. And so such opportunities are also fast closing. And anyone who fails in the judgment will find himself in those places, in those dark realms, where and his cloaks and everything about him will be destroyed, so that he can then revert back to how it was as a unconscious spirit germ, which then can then find his way back home. But it will now return to paradise, not as a complete ego, but a dismembered ego, with his name removed from the golden book of life. Samuel is calling from Abuja. Hello, Samuel.
Hello, Doctor.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes.
My question bears on Ishmael in the Bible. All right. Remember the story?
Yes. Yeah.
The angel that appeared to his mother said, "This son of yours shall be a violent man. His hand shall be on everyone, and everyone's hand shall be upon him." Now, if this son actually comes to the world of existence, and he becomes a violent man, does he have a free will to choose otherwise?
No, every human being has a free will. That is what makes the human being a spirit. Every spirit has the ability to make a choice, and that choice is free at the beginning, but everyone is bound to the consequences, irrespective of who he is. So that's how it is. Now let me answer this other question. Somebody said that so Jesus said to the thief on the right thing that today you will be with me in paradise. Well, yes, even though that thief was crucified with Jesus, but the thief knew three things happened in the case of this particular thief. First of all, he recognized that he deserved the punishment, that he was a sinner and deserved the punishment. Secondly, he recognized that Jesus Christ was innocent, was being punished for what he did not do, and then he recognized him as the Lord. These are the things that were enough to remove the burden on him. And Jesus said, today you'll be in paradise. And that was what actually happened. Ogali is calling from Songwater. Hello, Ogali. Good evening.
Doctor, please, according to the Bible,
yes,
about Adam and Eve,
yes,
and the creature and the children, the gotten, that is Cain and Abel.
Yes.
Now, Cain went to a distant country and gotten a wife. Does it mean that Adam and Eve are not the rightful first creation from God?
Well, if you have been listening to what we've been saying since, it what it means that Adam and Eve were only a pictorial rendering of the coming into the world of man and woman. It's not that there was only one man Adam and one woman Eve. No. There were only a picture. There were many, both male and female at that time. So it's only a picture of a process. So that is in that sense. Remember, the Bible itself is a spiritual book, and it speaks about that which is spiritual. So you must also understand it spiritually. You should not understand it, look at it in the literal sense. So in the case of Adam and Eve, there were many who were incarnated at that time. All right, we are coming to the end of today's transmission. Let's remind our listeners, public lectures coming up Sunday, 1st of March 2015, venue Maximum Tea's Hall off Agbado Road, Alakuko, Lagos. Topic is based on a great message in Yoruba language. Also, Sunday, 15th of March 2015, venue Nurses House by Lafia Township Stadium, Lafia, Nasarawa. Topic is based on a great message. At the lectures, you'll be free to ask any question about life and existence and creation in general. Now, for those who may still wish to interact with us after this program, the telephone numbers to call are 0705-298-0298 or 0803-315-7493. Our website www.truthoflifradio.com. Email info@truthoflifradio.com. With my words, I lead to God and also to Jesus. However, in a more vital way than has been known in the past, and not as people have trimmed it through their propensity for spiritual comfort. Words of Abrushin, author of the Great Message. And that's it tonight. Until we meet next Sunday, I am Dr. Tunde Agbola, wishing you good evening.